It's Thursday, March 11th, which means we're a year into a pandemic. We start here. 1 year after the day where everything seemed to change, people on the front lines are still racing to save lives.
I felt like the staff relied on me heavily because I had already worked in the epicenter here in New York.
We'll talk about what has and hasn't changed across the country. Usually the sales pitch comes before you sign the bill.
They don't want to be bashful about bragging about what the bill does.
But President Biden plans to keep the pedal to the metal on COVID relief. And out of 1,500 vaccine recipients, how many people do you think are fudging the truth?
They were entertainment, production, news.
The decision on how much to police your patients is about to get even tougher. From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey.
And to get more on this now, we want to welcome the Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Jerome Adams. Thank you for coming. We should probably show everybody the proper greeting
these
days.
Exactly.
I can almost
there
reach.
There you go. Almost. Good morning, George.
On March 10th of last year, most of America was still living life somewhat normally. Nervously, but normally.
We have not experienced any sort of extra check based on anything regarding the coronavirus.
At this moment, 29 Americans had died from a novel coronavirus. And put yourself back there for a minute. We've been told to stop shaking hands already, but if we did, we did it with like this silly grin. Like, oh, I guess now we're elbow bumping. This is crazy, right? To most of us, this was still a virus found in China, Italy, and a cruise ship. At an NBA press conference that day, reporters grumbled about having to sit so far away from players. 8 feet, like you could barely hear this guy. It felt like overkill. On the evening of March 10th, President Trump tweeted that we had the healthiest economy in the nation's history. Well, then March 11th came. And remember, March 11th actually started with a completely different headline.
That breaking news, Harvey Weinstein waking up in a hospital this morning instead of behind bars after that watershed verdict.
At 11:04 a.m. Eastern Time, Harvey Weinstein was told he was going to spend the rest of his life in prison. But 1 hour and 12 minutes later, the World Health Organization made a different announcement.
We have therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
By the afternoon, offices were telling their employees to pack it up. They were working from home. By 4:30, the Dow had plummeted, losing 10% of its value. By that evening, on the 11th, New York had canceled its St. Patrick's Day parade.
The game tonight has been postponed. You're all safe.
By 7 o'clock, the Oklahoma City Thunder were getting ready to tip off against the Utah Jazz when a player's test results came back.
We are all safe, and you can visit OKCThunder.com for updates on upcoming games.
My fellow Americans.
By 9 p.m., the president was sitting in the Oval Office addressing the nation. At 9:08 p.m.
Mayor Jen Ashton, we have some news, some kind of amazing news. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks was addressing the nation from his kitchen.
Tom and Rita Hanks down in Australia announced that they were feeling run down with some body aches, fever, fatigue. They were tested and both tested positive for the coronavirus. So they're
by late that evening, the first case of COVID was being diagnosed on Capitol Hill.
Just really a reflection of just how real this is getting.
We'd started the day skeptical. We had finished it in a full-fledged pandemic.
Today we mark a truly grim, heartbreaking milestone. 500,071 dead.
1 year later, though, that barely tells any of the story, right? Like, I'd give up shaking hands for 10 years now if it meant that 500,000 Americans weren't dead. Working from home? How about a year of schooling from home? This is really a day about understanding the human toll that this virus unexpectedly took from us. So I want to start the show by talking to someone who has seen this change over the last year up close. She has witnessed the fear in her fellow Americans' eyes, and she's watched some come out the other side. Decoya Billy is a traveling nurse. You're going to see her actually on Nightline later tonight as they break down the last year through Decoya's eyes. But I mean, Decoya, where are you right now, by the way?
I'm currently in New York. I am working at the airport and staying at a hotel literally right across the street.
And can you explain to people who don't know what it, I mean, I think a lot of us have heard of a traveling nurse, but like, could you just describe what that means?
So a traveling nurse or any traveling profession literally picks up, there's a suitcase that you may have ready with essential items in it, and you go around to whatever city or state may need you, may need your services, and those deployments or assignments can be as little as 2 weeks. They can be as long as 6 months, a year. Just depends on what company you're with and what the hospital that they're serving or institution that they're serving needs at that time.
Which essentially means that, like, you are going to the places where there's the highest demand. That essentially means you're going to the places that are suffering the most from COVID during a pandemic. So I feel like you could do this better than anyone. I mean, take me around the country over this last year. Like, how did this play out in the places where you were?
Right. So when the pandemic started, my babies were only 3 months old. They had gotten out of the hospital on March 1st, a week exact to my birthday. And every day, you know, I was coming home to the babies who were still very fragile, hadn't really built up their own immune system. And so I knew that I had to continue contributing to my family. And so for me, I made the decision to leave and work the pandemic because I knew it was the safest place for me to be, so I didn't expose my family to this unknown virus.
Oh, that was so, like a feature, not a glitch, like the idea of like, I'll be away, I'll be far away.
What? I'll be away? So that way I can still help provide. And so that's how I made the decision. It came to the decision of, okay, it's best for me to be away during this time.
Okay, so this is me in full PPE.
Roughly half the confirmed cases of COVID-19 in America are now in the state of New York. An estimated 12% of the latest illnesses have required hospitalization.
But and so then I went from working here in New York, early pandemic, really getting a chance to see how this virus really took over patients.
In a single 24-hour period, 13 people died here. Still others are in critical condition. These ventilators have just arrived, but they will need more.
About every 5 minutes or so, you would hear a cold gold overhead. And that meant that a COVID patient was either in cardiac arrest or could not breathe.
Wow.
And so you would hear that constantly overhead. You wouldn't even hear, you know, a stroke or anything like that. It was all COVID patients.
And now a grim question. What to do with all of the bodies? The dreadful reality, morgues are now at capacity in Suffolk County, and cemeteries just can't seem to keep up with the demand.
Carrington.
And then I took some time off, spent time with my own family for the 4th of July.
All right. Break dancing over there.
And then went back. Accepted the calling down in Texas.
With cities like Lubbock, Texas reporting right now, you could count the number of available ICU beds on one hand.
Which at that point, I saw where it significantly impacted the Hispanic population.
Christina Morales' family funeral home, which serves the predominantly Hispanic East End of Houston, is now busier than at any point during their 9 decades in business.
While we had learned a lot about COVID, there were still things that we still didn't understand. And knowing what medications worked and didn't work. I remember in the beginning, we were using hydroxychloroquine. And then down in Texas, we did away with it. We had started doing plasma down in Texas.
We are seeing a lot of patients come in. We are playing musical chairs in the middle of the night, moving one patient from one side to another.
We realized while patients were, you know, dealing with COVID in the hospital, we didn't necessarily need to keep them. If they were able to maintain 2 liters of oxygen at home for a couple days, couple weeks, that would free up beds for patients who really need to be in there. And so I had to, you know, help to communicate these things through to patients. And I felt like the staff relied on me heavily because I had already worked in the epicenter here in New York.
Today is March 2nd, 2021. I'm just finishing up my workout. I took an Uber back here to the hotel.
And so this morning I felt like it was time to, you know, move into a different role. And that's when I took on a position as a nurse practitioner here in New York again, but working COVID testing sites. So I've kind of seen this now full circle.
Walking in, they're going to sign in now. And the huddle will begin shortly.
And we're moving into vaccines. Had a chance to do a vaccination site. So it's just, it's great to be able to actually talk with a patient. Last week, he told me he was the first patient, I think, in his hospital here in New York to have COVID. And I was giving him a vaccine.
Like he was one of the original patients.
He was one of the original patients. He says, you know, I've been through it all, but I thank goodness that I'm here today to be able to take a vaccine. So it was great to be able to, you know, to see that come around full circle.
So fast forward to now then, like, how do you feel? Because I was outside. Everyone's feeling great, right? Weather's better. Everyone's feeling
right,
great.
Right.
Cases have plummeted by like 80%. I think the 7-day this was a fascinating stat. The 7-day positivity rate in this country right now is less than 5%. That is the best it's been since we declared this a pandemic. But I wonder if it feels that clear cut to you. Like, how do you feel about where we are?
By all means, we have made tremendous progress since the beginning. I think that we should be mindful of fatigue with it all. It is very real, even amongst colleagues. I do feel like we have a long way to go. I actually spoke with a patient today, and she says, you know, it's funny how I have been doing great all this time, but I decided to, you know, go and hang out with a couple friends. And then one of my friends tells me at our gathering that she doesn't feel well. And then she doesn't feel well 3 days later. And then she still decides to come and join us at an event. And then she calls today to tell us that she's positive. We have many that have been vaccinated, but there's still, you know, millions of people that need to get vaccinated. So I don't think that while we should celebrate the decline in COVID cases, we should still maintain all precaution in keeping everyone safe. That includes, you know, wearing a mask if you can. It's not a political thing. It's all about respecting each other. 'Cause what may be mild for me may kill my neighbor.
All right, DeCoya Billy out there by the airport. Not too far from me, actually, but just a world of difference in what you've seen over the last 365 days. I know we'll see you on Nightline tonight, an episode marking this year. Also, just your birthday, I heard.
Just turned 33 on March 8th.
Oh, on March 8th. All right, so some positives here.
Yes.
As we reach the spring. DeCoya Billy, thank you so much. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
Next up on Start Here, everyone's happier when you hand them money. So why are both political parties getting ready for battle? We're back in a bit.
With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November. And while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is a momentous day in the history of our country because we have passed historic, consequential, and transformative legislation.
When President Biden speaks to the nation later tonight, he'll be looking back at the last year, what we've lost, how we've changed. But there's a forward-looking part of this as well, and that will become official on Friday. That's because yesterday afternoon, Congress officially passed a $1.9 trillion relief package, which President Biden will sign tomorrow.
And you know what we can show America? That we can get things done to make their lives better.
We've heard about stimulus checks, we've heard about unemployment benefits, but this bill is actually even bigger than that. Let's bring in ABC's political director, Rick Klein. Rick, this is really the third rescue package in the last year, right? And yet Washington really seems to be treating this one like it's something much different. Why is that?
Well, start with the price tag, $1.9 trillion. It pales only in comparison to that first bill in terms of how expensive it is. But more broadly, it represents a big bet that Joe Biden and the Democratic Party are making on the power of progressive policies, of liberal ideas, being part of the solution to COVID-19.
Help is on the way. You will receive $1,400 checks by the end of March.
There's a way to fashion a bill that's very narrowly focused to try to roll out the vaccine and make people healthy and even provide aid to people that need it. But this goes bigger than that. We're talking about tax credits for people with school-aged children, new subsidies for people purchasing health care under Obamacare.
This is the most consequential legislation that many of us will ever be a party to.
This is the kind of bill that, if it does what it promises to do, would make a real dent in child poverty in this country. The tax credits may be a little bit harder to understand for people. It's not the same as just getting a check. Now, that's supposed to be in place for just 1 year, but Democrats are going to want to make it permanent. And that's the kind of thing that once it's law, it's going to be really hard to take away in future years. That's why the calculation that Joe Biden made in crafting this bill was an important one.
What would they have me leave out? Should we not invest $20 billion to vaccinate the nation?
He could have gone narrow. He could have narrowed along with the choices that Republicans had for him. He could have easily signed a bipartisan bill. He chose not to.
I've met with Republicans. There's some really fine people want to get something done, but they're just not willing to go as far as I think we have to go.
That's a faith in the system and a faith in the party to deliver on that, to make this felt by people.
Yeah, what are we going to see now starting today, I guess, starting tomorrow? What does the political reality look like? Like, how are Republicans going to treat this? How are Democrats going to react?
Well, it's remarkable to me for a bill as popular as it's been, how much Republican Party discipline there's been in opposing it.
This is a classic example of big government Democratic overreach.
Whether you're in prison or whether you're in legal, I think most hardworking Americans would think that that's probably not a good idea to be writing checks to people who aren't here legally.
And it is because there are things that are only tangentially, if at all, related to COVID-19.
Number one, it solved New York's budget problem. So finally, some good news for Governor Cuomo.
I think you hear Republicans begin to focus on the inevitable waste and fraud that's involved in this kind of government expenditure, and they'll focus on the price tag.
I think one thing the Biden administration really has to focus on is the risk of what all this debt's going to do to us.
On the other side, the big sell begins tonight with this speech, and it's going to continue with trips around the country. We're going to see the cabinet fully employed, trying to bring this to battleground districts and battleground states, and to use any milestone, any marker along the way to try to say, look, this is what we're doing. Right. And that is that's a big, big sell. We've seen other presidents fail in trying to explain what big bills mean to them. This will be a challenge for this White House.
I was going to say, Rick, like President Obama passed a huge, gigantic stimulus bill that did not exactly endear him to the right, even though there were a lot of people that supported the bill. Within a year, he was still like the boogeyman of huge government overreach.
The American people were asked, has the stimulus actually already created jobs? Only 6% said yes.
So I think the miscommunication here is just, what is the stimulus?
And I'll tell you, White House aides who lived through that a dozen years ago are stung by the experience and are using it to instruct them for how to move forward.
Millions more Americans will get tested, including home testing. Schools will soon have the funding and resources to reopen safely, a national imperative.
They don't want to be shy. They don't want to be bashful about bragging about what the bill does. And they're going to use the power of the federal government, not just to roll this out, but to make clear to people why it matters. That's what makes this bigger than your average bill.
Yeah, we've already seen pushback, like you said, on the grounds of spending, on deficits. We've also seen this sort of broader shift to really talking about cancel culture, a lot of Dr. Seuss headlines. Critics have said that's not an accident, that there are about to be a lot of kitchen table issues out there that Democrats feel very proud of. We'll see how sort of defensive or aggressive each side gets here. Rick Klein, thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Now, as we move into year two of this pandemic, vaccinations are clearly the public health issue that is going to make the biggest, fastest difference.
Instead of tickets, security at Fenway is checking appointment confirmations and IDs. Starting this morning, the state's most senior residents can come to the country's oldest ballpark to get their vaccine.
We spent a lot of time talking about how efficient some of these big mass vaccination sites are. And one of the reasons they're so efficient is there's just not a ton of holdups once you get to the site.
I anticipated all kinds of issues and long waits, and the military here are amazing. It's extremely efficient. The line moves fast.
In fact, some people have shown up with their pay stubs from their restaurant jobs or doctor's notes showing that they do, in fact, have a comorbidity, and no one even asked to see it. Some people have reported feeling guilty because they want to show someone to prove that they're eligible. And it makes sense why you would not check too hard, right? Because by the time the person arrives, what are you going to do? You're going to turn them away, not vaccinate them, make everyone else wait while you examine their paperwork closely? The path to herd immunity is by using every single dose available to you quickly. But at what point do so many people take advantage of the system that you have to do something?
Pasadena has had to cancel a vaccination clinic for Thursday after individuals shared a registration link when they shouldn't have.
Well, on Tuesday night in Southern California, hundreds of people were informed your vaccine appointment has been canceled. We've shut down an entire clinic because too many of you are cheaters. Let's go to Lisa Derdarian. She works for the city of Pasadena as a public information officer, where she's been trying to get people signed up for the vaccine. That's her gig, to get clear information out to people about getting vaccinated. Lisa, I mean, can you just kind of give me the TikTok of what happened here?
So today we were going to have our largest mass vaccination clinic, up to 1,500 people. We've been doing this every week, twice a week in many cases, at Pasadena City College. So we have this down to a T. But a couple days ago, when we sent out the link to those that qualified and are in the current tier, and these current tiers are dictated by the state.
So right, this is the 65 and over crowd. This is like the essential workers.
The restaurant workers, grocery workers, daycare, teachers. So it's a very large group. So in sending out the link a few days ago, it's very clear, big red font, do not share. And it's very specific as to who qualifies for today's mass vaccination clinic.
Well, like, you're eligible, don't share this with somebody who's not
correct.
Eligible.
Correct. And so we've had this issue in the past, but when we do audits, it's a manageable group to where we can make phone calls and verify that they either live or work in the city of Pasadena. So I received a call from an LA Times reporter a few days ago questioning the link and if it was valid because she knew she was not in the current tier to be vaccinated. And if it's too good to be true, question it. thankfully she did, because...
Wait, the reporter just got sent a link to her email being like, hey, here's a way to get vaccinated, like follow this link and go get vaccinated?
Correct. And within the first hour, we had hundreds of people. None of them qualified. They were not in the current tier based on their occupation listed. And a majority of them were in like soap opera production companies or news media.
Wait, you mean
media.
Literally like crew members for Hollywood soap operas?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They were entertainment, production, news. And most of them lived definitely outside the city, but several miles outside the city in many cases. So within a few hours, it was up to over 900 people, so more than half of what we had allotted for the 1,500. So as a result, we had to cancel, which is very unfortunate because it's a lot of our senior population that has been eligible for several weeks.
Right.
But they're hard to reach a vulnerable community in many cases, and they don't trust when you call because they're told don't give information because there's so many scams out there. So this group, when we call and tell them it's been rescheduled, they get very nervous. But fortunately, today we're able to have a private vaccination clinic. We spent hours and a lot of staff time calling and rescheduling so that they could get the vaccine in a timely manner. So whether intentional or not, I mean, I say not because maybe they just received the link and they thought, oh, it's too good to be true, but I'm going to try it anyway. Or if they receive the full email, then shame on them because they were taken away from people that really deserve it.
What were the reactions like from people, whether they were supposed to get the shot or whether they weren't supposed to get the shot, I guess?
Yeah, we have a lot of people on our social media, the ones that were not qualified and did not, they tried to move forward in the process and they should not have. But a lot of people are posting on our social media upset that we should still be doing it, that production is still happening. Mm. They're in the trenches every day in people's faces. Mm. And I agree. I mean, I have the utmost respect for media, for production, entertainment. I mean, I deal with reporters in the field on a daily basis. But we don't set the guidelines. The state does. And we have to adhere to them. We don't have a choice in the matter. We have had numerous situations where people show up. They don't qualify. They don't have any documentation. Some situations have escalated, and we've had to call the police a few times.
What do you mean? How do they escalate? What does that mean, they escalate?
Escalate as far as people get confrontational, and they start to, a few have driven erratically to get out of there because they're upset and run over cones, and, you know, or they just start yelling and screaming, thinking that's going to help them, which, you know, definitely does not in this situation. So, it's something that we're aware of. We will check and verify because we will abide by the rules.
Two young women accused of posing as grandmothers to get vaccinated in Orange County, Florida. Authorities say the women, believed to be in their 20s, tried to appear older by wearing bonnets and gloves.
You know what you have done? You've stolen a vaccine from somebody that needs it more than you.
Do you think you're going to see more of those as this goes on? Because I feel like the first group, it's very clear, right? Healthcare workers. That's easy. Like, you're either a healthcare worker or you're not. Then it's like, you're whatever. You're over 65. Like, that's on your driver's license, whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you're going to see more of this as people kind of get tired of waiting?
Yeah, we've seen all kinds of, including doctored up, because now you can download, that you work at a lab and put a headshot of you on a document, laminate it, and you're good to go.
Wait, people really done
that? Oh yeah, we've seen almost everything. And sometimes it's hard to question. You know, it's not legit, but is it worth arguing? You know, and
right.
Really, but it's amazing what people will go through. I think the next phase is going to be more of a challenging phase with those that are have pre-existing medical conditions, because there's numerous ones that are listed. We haven't been relayed how that would work if you have to show up with a doctor's note or if
your pack of Marlboros to show that you're a smoker.
Right, exactly. We haven't been given that direction yet, but that's going to be a challenging process as far as how to verify.
7 weeks ago, only 8% of the seniors, those most vulnerable to COVID-19, have received the vaccination. Today, 60% of the people over the age of 65 or older have received at least one shot.
You know, we appreciate those that follow the guidelines and the rules and wait their turn. President Biden has said by the end of May, whoever wants to get vaccinated will. And I think we will have more of an influx of vaccine coming our way in the near future. In the past several months, we're only as good as the amount of vaccine that we get, and we haven't been getting very much.
Right. And I think you hit on something so key here is that you're seeing a reticence to hold the line up, too. So, like, there's not necessarily always these checks of eligibility on site. Like, you're not going to just not fill the appointment. You'd rather have a liar vaccinated than nobody vaccinated at all. But the question then is, at what point does the lack of oversight just encourage more people to come in and cut the line? Lisa Dedarian from your office there in Pasadena, California. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And one last thing. A year ago, the scary thing was you couldn't go buy something at the drugstore to fully protect you from COVID-19. That at least has changed.
COVID vaccine distribution is expanding to hundreds of additional pharmacies.
This is a historic moment.
This is it.
CVS and Walgreens are among the more than 20 major companies.
Pharmacy vaccine drives are going to be a key part of turning this country around. But as we heard yesterday from Jorge Figueroa in Presidio, Texas, lots of people don't live near a chain pharmacy.
This town's, you know, like far from every major city.
But lots of people do live near a dollar store.
Another Dollar General store, Dollar Tree. This is all the kind of stores that we have.
This week, the CDC announced it is exploring a potential partnership with Dollar General for potential vaccinations, which you might think dollar stores are not known for being organized or even sparkling clean. But you know what they do have? Locations. Lots of them. Dollar General's got 3 times as many locations as Walgreens, and it often serves the exact communities the CDC says are so hard to reach.
As a result, we're exploring a promising collaboration with Dollar General stores, which have locations that include refrigeration capacity within 10 or 15 miles of our rural communities in all but 4 states.
The other thing Dollar General has going for it are the soft drinks. Not to drink, but it means they've got refrigerators, which is why you can't just automatically send vaccines to the local church or community center. You got to make sure they have the necessary infrastructure or send your own. This Dollar General deal is not green-lighted yet. It's still exploratory, but it shows that in year 2 of this pandemic, things are still changing every day. By the way, that timeline of March 11th we gave you early on, it gets even more fascinating than that if you want a deep dive. Today, our partners at ESPN have actually re-upped this incredible oral history of one of the most pivotal days in modern American history. They got all the major players, including Dr. Anthony Fauci and that NBA player that tested positive. You will hear them here. So check out 30 for 30 podcast today. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his 3rd bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.